Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Where's my snare? I can't hear my snare.
Put some treble in it. Put some treble.
Do you remember that?
That's
my
word.
From? You know what that's from? Where's my snare?
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear my snare.
That's fucking... That's
where is my snare?
What was his name?
Where's my echo?
He was coming out with a big album.
Who? Eminem?
No, it was the...
That was Eminem.
No, it was Chappelle. Oh,
Chappelle?
Yeah.
Oh, Eminem.
Right.
Don't you remember? And,
you're right. Eminem did
cleaning
it.
Out my closet.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning of that, he's like, where's my snare?
Oh, this guy would definitely know that. He's all about Eminem.
He loves I'm a big Eminem fan.
He's one of the, he's the greatest. Well, he was. He's, I will not
well,
say he's the greatest.
Well, he you know still why? Is one of the greatest.
He's one of the greatest, but here's his problem. He had two, three really bad albums.
The only bad album he had was Encore.
Nah, the other one was pretty shitty, too.
Which one?
The drug one with like his pills all over it. What is
oh,
it?
Oh, Relapse?
Relapse.
Look, here's the
bad.
Thing with Relapse. Relapse is a story. If you listen to it from start to finish, it is a story. You have to have an open mind to like Relapse.
Yeah, but is
now,
it a good story?
Now, what you were just... Dude, he just got out of fucking rehab, and and this is his first album since his best friend died. I mean, and he was out of the game for four years.
Did he do any songs on Relapse about Proof?
No, he
didn't.
He
had that one on Recovery that was sick.
Yeah.
That was a good song.
What do you feel about that album? How do you feel about
Recovery?
Yeah.
I feel like he lost his flame, his fire, when that came out. Like, he's still doing shit that's amazing, and it's like, you hear it, and you're like, how is he coming up with these words? But there's a essence that just seemed to be missing. There's like a, I don't know.
Bro, he can't talk about killing his wife, and and
he's just not as raw anymore,
hating his mother. Yeah, and what's
up.
Wrong with that, man?
There's nothing wrong with it.
He'll be 44 in October.
I know.
Damn.
But there's like a youthful like thing that's gone that like you saw in his earlier albums that was fun. And I mean, you still see it in like moments like that. His new album, MMLP2, he had that one with his mom with that Nate Rouse guy. That's a fucking really
Headlights.
Good song. Headlights.
I'm not going to lie. When I first heard that, because, I mean, I've been listening to Eminem since 1999, and I knew his hatred for his mother. And when I heard that song, Don't Make Fun of Me, Slim, I started crying.
No, I'm in the same boat with you. I was, like, tearing up a little bit. Because it's a fucking crazy journey that, like, if you were a fan of his... Like, it took you years to go through. Like, you walked and you remember the emotions that he was going through. And then now it's, like, coming full circle. It's like a 10-year fucking story you're a little bit of a part of or you're sitting into.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And you're happy.
You've almost lived through it with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, along the way. I had a 2005 Chevy Silverado and I bought the CD. And when Headlights came on and when he started apologizing, I said... first thing that popped in my mind was, oh my gosh. And then, like, I started hearing the song and just, I tried to fight back the tears and I'm just like...
You're in traffic just bawling like a little bitch.
I'm just fucking...
It's allergies. It's my allergies.
Fucking Marshall.
the car next to me. Like, who's that big black guy just crying in the car next to me? You know? Just bawling.
The guy from the longest yard. He broke my nose.
Yeah. Oh, man. Jesus Christ.
No, that was an amazing record. Or that was an amazing song. And there's two songs that I remember, like, I heard, and they made a huge impact on me. One was Stan. Because, like, when I listened to Stan, like, I heard Kill You First, and then I was like, I was probably, like, in ninth grade, and I was like, this guy's sick. I can't listen to this guy. Like, I almost, like, threw the CD away. I was so disgusted by Kill You. And then, like, I heard Stan, and, like, the first three verses, you know, and then he's off the bridge. And then I thought this song was going to end. And I was literally ready to, like, just break this CD and be like, this is just evil stuff. Evil stuff, you know?
It was hard, man.
And then
it was hard
I heard
to listen
the fourth
to.
Verse where he comes back and he writes him. And I'm like, okay, this is the real guy. You're seeing a little picture of what the guy's really like.
Yeah.
And then that was like, okay, fuck, cool. everything from there on out was I was a big fan of.
What'd you think of the sequel to Stand Bad Guy?
It was good. It's hard to it's lyrically it's really good, I thought, but it's not it doesn't pull you in like Stan does. It's not nearly as good as Stan.
It's not as good as Stan, but I thought the concept of, you know, at the end when he says, "I also represent," and you know, just Stan and Stan and Matthew.
Yeah, that's right.
They're symbolics of him.
Yeah, like just kind of the whole thing. Yeah, it's yeah. It was good. I just wasn't. It was no Stan. That album is like a good album, but it doesn't. It's just it's not, you know, the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
Or it's not
I agree.
As good, but it's, there's a lot of good songs in it.
Yeah,
it's. I would say I'd put it on par with his first one. What is it, Slim Shady LP?
Slim Shady LP.
Yeah,
Marshall Mathers LP is my favorite album.
Yeah,
because he was, and we talked about this on an early on one of our earlier shows. He was the voice of the voiceless, and if you were tortured, if you were bullied, that was the album that would get you through the day. Because yeah. You know that was a time in 2000 where, you know, that poppy shit, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, that shit was popular, and rap was getting really commercialized. And we were just looking for an artist that, you know, that could bring us back to that NWA mm-hmm. Public Enemy, not giving a fuck, you know, angry style. And
yeah, like Puff Daddy was the guy who was on top before that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It was like Bad Boy Baby, we got Pop Chris down.
Yeah, and you know, oh, yeah. He, you know, and you
Chappelle's know, version of Puff Daddy is so funny.
Yeah. You'll see a Bad Boy music video, and you'll see him just pop his head out and say,
"Bad boy."
No, this is the remix.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking Puff Daddy.
And then Eminem came out, and I will never forget the first time I heard "My Name Is."
Oh yeah,
was
so fucking good.
Was on the radio.
Me too.
And then I thought, man, this guy's corny. And you, then you when did? I heard the album version, my jaw dropped to the fucking floor. My English teacher wanted to have sex in junior high. The only problem was my English teacher was a guy. I slapped him in the face with a razor, chased him with a stapler. Staple his nuts with a stack of papers.
See, when I heard the radio version, I was like in seventh grade. I remember it. And I was like, what the fuck did I just hear? It blew me away. And then everybody in my school, it was like we all heard it the same day. We all came back and we were like, what's that song? What's he saying? Zika zika zam zany. Like, what is that? Like, we had no idea. And but everyone was talking about it. Like, that's how different it was and how unique it was compared to everything else that you were hearing on the radio.
Yeah, and he was still awesome. So fresh to hit the scene. Hey, listen, before we get too far in here, I got to do this, all right? Hey, if you guys, thanks for joining us here.
You're basically like, shut the fuck up, quit talking about Eminem.
Well, we could do this shit all fucking day.
And
but,
I'm going to just keep interrupting your intro.
No, we're doing this a little bit differently here. So for those of you who are new listeners and joining us, thank you guys for listening. This is an earful in the Emerald City, and you guys are listening to us right now. These guys, I couldn't get them to shut up before we got started here, so I said, fuck it, just hit play and let's get this thing going. So we'll see. Maybe we'll leave that in. Maybe we'll chunk it out. But listen, I want to go back to something that you said.
Hold on. You should probably intro the new guy.
Oh, my
here.
God. I'm so...
Come on.
You got no fucking manners.
I'm manners. These people are just hearing a voice that they've never heard before.
The sweet sound of an angel's whispering. Yeah, no. We actually fucking made it happen this week, surprisingly. We thought it was just going to be heads up, me and the big guy, but I was actually able to wrangle one of Seattle's best local comedians. A comedian's comedian, I'd like to say, good buddy of mine, Mr. Joey Cruz.
Thank you
for joining the show, man.
I don't know if I agree with all those things. I don't know if I'm the best, one of the best.
Oh, that's... hey, you know, only time will tell, but
ATT.
He's out there, he's grinding though, so
ATWT.
Go see him, you guys, but listen, I want to jump back to something you were talking about earlier, though, and it kind of ties into the whole music thing. Yeah, you. And you were talking about emotions and how, you know, that was so powerful, like made you cry. And you sat there and you said, oh, you're going to make fun of me. It's like, no, dude, I understand. Like, there's songs that are just so amazing that when they hit you in that right situation at that perfectly right time, it's just fucking amazing. And you just lose your shit, kind of.
Yeah.
You know, you lose control of yourself for that 2.5 minutes. You're just like, oh my God, what the hell happened there? It's like an out of body experience almost.
Totally.
You know, but why is that though? Why do we got to feel so bad about having those kinds of emotions as guys? I mean, is it still a taboo thing for to be a guy and to be sensitive, or are you just some guy who's, you know, trying to be a social justice warrior and that's your angle to get pussy is to be the sensitive guy?
I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, women in society, unfortunately, are still looked at as, you know, the second race, and men are on top. I don't agree with it. I think it's man and woman, woman and man, not man then woman. But in society, man is considered number one, and because of that, we got to go out and hunt. We got to go out, and we can't show emotion. We show emotion, that's a weakness.
Key right there. You just said it, weakness.
But who's thinking that way though? Still, I mean,
well, I think
who are these
guys
out there?
Emotion, I don't think should be seen as weakness all the time, but it can be. Like if you're crying or something like that, people might see that as weak,
mm-hmm.
even though it's not necessarily, but it's just misinterpreted as that.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I think there's something that men always they do where they want to always like appear strong, because really how it's been the entire race was like they do hold the shit. Men have always been the backbone of a family, the one who like has to be the provider. If shit goes down, your fucking job to deal with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so they've always had to appear strong, even if they felt like they were fucking crumbling, you know? But
and a lot of them probably did, dude.
Oh, totally. And I think a thing that's like, if you're a dude and you're feeling like you're crumbling, like, oh man, I'm feeling weak, when you hear other men talk about that they've also had the same experience, you relate to it. So like when you hear an Eminem song or something like that, and he's talking about how he feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders or something, or how is he going to do this, or any kind of song like that, like men can relate to that, but it's hard for men to say that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But we all experience it. We just don't want to appear weak.
Yeah.
We want to appear like prideful, puffed up chest, like we got this shit under control.
Yeah.
You know?
When I lived in Texas, which is very conservative, I've always been an emotional guy. I don't hold back my emotions. And there were times where I would express my emotions on Facebook when I would go through a hard time and when I would go through shit. And men and women, you know, and you have to remember, I was living in Texas. Men and women would tell me, grow up, it's life, get over it. I'm thinking, would you tell that to a woman? If she was going through the same shit? Or
no.
Yeah.
Definitely not. But, I mean, that's just kind of the whole... That goes along with the double standard. And,
well, you're an asshole.
I know, I can't.
And other people... Yeah.
You're going to be considered if you do that.
I've said that shit.
Other people were telling me, you know, Rashad, I can't deal with you. I'm going to have to delete you as a friend off Facebook. I'm like, wow.
But honestly, I would only... It depends on the situation. Like, so if someone's actually going through something and it's really hard and they're like, I can't do this, then sympathy. But if they're like, oh my gosh, like, this is too hard, I hurt my ankle or whatever it is.
No.
Then I'd be like, grow up, bitch, or piece of shit. Like, what it like... So it depends on the situation of like, I think your emotions and feelings should match like certain actions, like, or certain circumstances. So it's like, if you, like when 9/11 happened, if you weren't if you weren't angry or you weren't feeling something, something's a little wrong with you, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you might not be reacting. Like when I saw it as a sophomore, and I was, you're stupid when you're in high school. Mm-hmm. I saw it and I remember thinking like my teacher was crying, bawling. It was on TV. And I remember thinking, wow, I looked more real on Independence Day, like when shit blew up. Like, it didn't look real. Like, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah, it didn't look like controlled demolition.
Yeah, and then I went home, and my sister was watching the news, and it was still on, and I was like, this thing's still on? It's been on all day.
I thought the same thing. I was actually in eighth grade, and I had a football game that day. The football game got canceled. I'm not gonna lie. What 9/11 was the first major attack on the U.S. in my lifetime.
Mine too, yeah.
So I had it took me a while to really take in how major this was and realize how much of an impact it's going to have on this country in the future. And obviously, it still does. It's created a bunch of fear mongers on Muslims and terrorists. So,
yeah, obviously the world changed that day. I mean, everybody knew it. You knew it when you were watching. But to come back to the emotions for just a second, though, like I said, sometimes life just comes together in these perfect moments where the situation just, the stars align, things are beautiful, you have a moment you've never experienced before, it all comes together, and sometimes you just lose your emotions a little bit, you know, and sometimes you cry, and sometimes it's because you're sad, and sometimes it's because you're happy. You're just so amazed at how beautiful things have become, and you're happy, but I don't think that's the weakness. The weakness, in my opinion, is not having any control over your emotions, is absolutely having that anger come out all the time. That is the fucking weakness. You can sit there and puff up your chest and say, fuck you, fuck this fucking bullshit, and get all angry and get all huffy and puffy. That is weakness.
Absolutely. Right there.
Well, you're just getting angry all the fucking time and it's unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
there's a lot of times where it's a weakness. There's a lot of self-control is one of the most important things someone can have.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to control their emotions and know if it's a right, if their emotion is a right response to the circumstance, you know? And if you're getting angered easily and being like that, that's a weakness because you're not using self-control and you're not, your emotional response is not matching what it should match. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you just don't know.
Overreacting.
Yeah. You don't realize where you need to be and you're out of the element. You were saying, like, be in the moment earlier, you know, you're just completely out of the moment. You're in your own fucking head, you're a mile away, you're thinking just some crazy shit. So that's the true weakness, in my opinion. I mean, sometimes, you know, things, like I said, it's just so beautiful that you gotta cry a little bit, you know?
What was the last time you cried?
The last time I cried, it was probably about a month ago.
Okay.
Just this song just hit me at this moment when I was just feeling good.
What was the song?
God damn it. I can't remember the name. It was an EDM song, okay? Okay. So there's probably no lyrics. There's probably no lyrics. It sounds like Robots, did it. I was driving, so more than likely, yeah, I was high. odds are.
That's a weird confession. Well, I was driving, so yeah, I was.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's the reverse. Odds are, you know? Yeah. Odds are. But yeah, and it just comes, and you just, for a second, that song gives you that, and you get that feeling, you know, where your spine starts tingling a little bit. You guys get that ever? When a song just hits you perfectly, you're just like, ooh, damn.
Dude,
like,
I had this thought the other day because I was listening to a band and it was a song I loved and it was a beautiful day, things were just great, and I was just into the song and it was moving me, and I had this thought, like, does the artist that creates it, do they get moved by their own music like that? Like, could he bump this song and be moved by it? It's weird because I do a little bit of creating type stuff and I play the piano a little bit. I like some things, but I don't know if it would ever actually move me, you know, like I've given speeches or whatever that have made people cry or do stuff, and they've been moved by it. But I listen to it. I don't know if it would happen, you know, like, because it's mine. You know, it's a little different.
You've given speeches that made people cry.
Well, I used to be a pastor.
Oh, that's true. You were telling me
that. So I was
on,
you know, like, I would do sermons and stuff like that.
Okay.
And
wow, seeing you trying to be serious, that's one for, I'd like to see that shit. Goddamn.
Yeah.
What artists, if there was any artists that you can just sit back and watch in the booth to watch them work, which artist would it be? Slim?
Which artist would it be? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I like Nas just because all the way his shit's written out, it's really passionate. You know, he explains things well. He's talking you through a story. That's one of my personal favorites. But
mine would probably be either Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse or Damon Albarn of Gorillaz.
Nice pull.
I'm gonna have to go with my boy Marshall Mathers, Eminem. I would have loved to see him record headlights.
It's probably. It's probably. I bet you there's video of it somewhere.
Yeah, it could be on YouTube.
There's video.
Or him recording it.
Like just him in the booth.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sure one of his like fucking guys had a camcorder going all the time.
Yeah, there's
you know?
Video of him like doing Kim.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I haven't
Are
seen
you serious?
It. I haven't. I remember watching like Snoop Dogg talk about it, and it was like there was like voiceovers, and it was like him in the booth. Just I don't know if it was the exact one or like maybe a different one, but it was like him in the booth, like fucking just doing it. You know what I mean?
You know what Snoop Dogg said about Kim, and is really interesting. Who hasn't like?
Kill their significant other.
Yeah, like who hasn't felt? Who hasn't you know imaged that in their lifetime about a ex who has pissed them off so bad that if you can get away with it, you do it.
Yeah, just like he was. What I remember that quote. He's like, he fucking wrote a song about it. He's like, most people just think about it.
Yeah. Put that shit down on paper.
Yeah.
But
God damn, wrote out the lines.
Well, when I first heard the song, I thought of O.J. Simpson. So.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but you got to think about it for the O.J. Okay, since you brought it up. This guy, he is paying his ex-wife all this money in alimony, okay? Because she would live this way, all right? She was accustomed to living this way. So he's got to pay her all this alimony, and she's probably living in his in a house that he used to own. And OJ sees this fucking guy, Ron Goldman, driving around in a Ferrari.
I know nothing about the OJ story.
That he paid for. I'm telling you right now, man.
So was this Ron dude fucking his wife?
Yes, and driving a Ferrari that OJ paid for.
So do you think that OJ killed his wife?
100%.
100%. No doubt.
100%. You can see the look on his face when they read the verdict and they say not guilt. You can see the look on his face.
Did you?
He himself is shocked.
Yeah.
He is shocked. He's amazed by the outcome, as most of America was. I mean, but again, you know, who knows? Being in that situation, that might fucking drive you to think some crazy shit, dude. You see your ex-wife, this guy's rolling around in a Ferrari. I mean, what the fuck? Who does he fucking think he is? That's my wife. That's my fucking wife. That's my Ferrari.
I don't know, man. I get it. I totally get that. I'm weird, though. I don't feel like I would just be like, well, fuck. That's what she decides to do. Fuck you. We'll divorce. Get the fuck out of my life. I don't want to see you again. But I would never want to kill her. You know? I would never really want to actually, like, kill her. But I'm also the same way. If my wife dies, I'd be like, oh, that just kind of happens. Gonna miss you.
You're an asshole.
It's gonna miss you.
You know? If you're listening, he doesn't mean that.
I don't, but that. I do. Here's what I mean. Here's my thought on life in general. I think everybody should be so complete with who they are that relationships are like frosting on the cake. And like, if you get married or you find a woman that you love, it's great. And you guys have a great time together, but they're going to die sooner or later. One of you is going to die. It is a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And you will recover and you will heal. So I'm not saying it wouldn't be hard. I'm just saying that I would personally make it past that. And I, you know, you'd move on. And same thing. If I die, I'm like, I have to tell my wife all the time. If I die, fuck, marry somebody else. I don't give a shit. Yeah, I want you to have kids, have a whole family, enjoy life.
Yeah.
You know, it's too short to be like worried about other people. That's my position on it. Any comments?
I think OJ's mentality was, if I can't have you, no one will.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Do you think that's a good mentality, though?
No.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, that's not a healthy mentality.
Got him in good places.
Yeah.
You know? Shit. I will never forget Kardashian's face, his lawyer. Just a big
sign.
No. No, he had the dream team.
Yeah.
Johnny Cochran was, he was the star, the MVP of the dream team, because he just sealed the fucking deal with, if the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that part with my mom and dad. I had no idea what was going on. I was 7 years old during the trial, and I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, where it was a big black population, still does. And OJ seemed like the good guy. He seemed like He seemed like
how could there be the good guy in this scenario?
I didn't know what was going on.
Two people died. How can there be the good guy
because,
in this scenario?
Because
there's seven.
Because at that time, black people were getting railroaded by the system. And a lot of black people were rooting for him so he could beat it, and he did.
Yeah, well, he beat a lot of things. But, okay, coming back to what you said, Joey, though, I liked your analogy. You know, you're talking about relationships, and that's like the cake. That's the frosting on top of the cake.
Yeah, that's the way I see
and,
it.
And I agree with you on that.
Life's the whole fucking cake.
And I totally agree, but it's all about that fucking frosting, man, okay?
No,
that's
it's
where
not.
All the goodness is at.
Oh, man, frosting's
the rest
gross.
Is just fluff. The rest is just fluff, dude. It's all about that frosting, dude. I'm telling you, I feel when it's all said and done,
Are you talking about cake? Or are you talking about relationships?
I'm back.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When the cake is finished and there's nothing.
Are you talking about like?
No, I'm back on relationships here. I'm talking relationships. So, and me personally, I think that relationships that's what life's all about. You know, I don't think we realize it yet. I think we're still too young to actually realize that. But I think when it's all said and done, and you look back on your life. I think that's what's going to reflect the
absolutely.
Hardest on you.
I do agree with the point that relationships do seem like a major purpose in life, having relationships with people. However, I would say the individual is absolutely replaceable. Everybody's replaceable.
Yeah. Oh, well, no question.
Younger is like it's just how much experience you have with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like how long you've been friends with them, the shit you go through. Like, I mean, I have a family. I have two sisters. But, like, I have friends that are more important to me than my family,
yeah.
You know, and it's because of the moments we've shared together. Or, like, if you're in fucking war, you know, like, I've never been to war. But if you're fucking in war and you fucking go to battle with someone
yeah.
and they got your back and they're, like, they save your life or something. Like, even if that's only for, like, a month or something, like you knew them. Like, I bet you there's going to be a bond that's so strong and an experience together that it's just almost... It's amazing.
Band of Brothers, man. That's what
it's
all about.
That's a great show.
Yeah.
That's a great show.
When your fucking life is on the line, yeah, you know who gives a shit and who fucking doesn't. So,
you know,
but
I have experienced something similar to that because I played football in Texas where it's like a fraternity. It's a huge brotherhood.
Yeah, football in Texas is no joke.
Yes. I'm still in contact with a handful of guys that I played football with just because of that bond that we had for 6 years, 7th through 12th grade. It's pretty amazing. It's crazy. I consider some of those guys closer than a lot of my family members, and I don't have a big family, so yeah, I was always going over Steven's house, Justin's house, Reno's house for Christmas and Thanksgiving, because you know, it was just me, my mom, and my brother, and we were more like roommates, and then if we fucked up, my mom would get on our ass.
Yeah,
but you know, we my mom didn't really have to worry about me because she knew that I was driven, was going to go to college and shit, but
yeah. Yeah, it's well, you know, and it's all about the life experiences too. Like you said, like you have friends that you're closer to than even your family. And yeah, it's because most of the experiences you're going through now, you're going through them with those
yeah.
friends.
Yeah.
You kind of divert away from the family a little bit, as much as I say. I mean, my family, fuck, I'm on precarious terms with everybody at this point, you know, and it's like that's a reflection on me. Like there's something that I'm not doing right here, something that I need to work on. And again, when it's all said and done, and we're done, and you're laying on your deathbed, I don't think I'm going to look back and say to myself, "Gee, you know, I wish I would have worked more.
I wish I would have played more video games.
I wish I would have put in a lot more hours working, doing something to get somebody else rich.
Yeah."
I mean, I'm not going to think that you're going to be like, man, I wish I
would have done what I loved more, but yeah. I was afraid.
Yeah. I wish I wouldn't have been a fucking prick to my mom.
Wish I wasn't,
you know,
such
any
a pussy,
of that kind of stuff.
You know, whatever. And it's not talking about you, but just in general. No, that's I agree. I got to say, like, I'm pretty proud so far of the way I've decided to live my life.
Humble brag.
I really am. Like, it's been a fucking crazy life. Was one thing, like, with school, I didn't do shit in school. I look. That's one thing I do regret. I do regret not learning shit in school.
Yeah.
But I had a great time. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And it was always just parties and even at school. Like that's an amazing time. Like you're talking about football. I played football in high school too, a little bit. But that's like the only time in life where people schedule shit for you, and all you got to do is show up. Like we will never put on pads again. You know, like pads are over. Like we'll never be able to put a helmet on, put some pads on, go out and play. You know, unless we pay a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
And even though flag football isn't football, you know, it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's but that idea that you live in this life a little bit for like 4 years, where you're around all your friends and you got to sit in class or whatever. But
you're a local celebrity.
Yeah, you're just, you know, you're just, it's awesome, man. It's great.
Yeah.
I miss high school so much.
You miss high school?
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Fuck that.
It feels like you have
high
a million.
High school was great for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it feels like you have a million friends. You know?
A million friends. You're walking down the hall. What's up? Hey. Yeah.
I don't know.
Rashad, answer me this.
Riddle me this.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
10 being the hardest, 1 being the least, how hard did you try in high school?
I want to say a six.
Are you talking about like at effort. Just education wise?
I'm talking all around.
I mean,
just giving it all you got.
Because you can try like in popularity harder than you try in education.
No, here's this
all around
education. I feel like I gave it a seven because I didn't study outside of school. And the only time I did study was when midterms and finals. I didn't study for any
just when you needed to cram.
Yeah. Just when I needed to cram.
Yeah.
People knew who I was all around. So I didn't really have to try to be popular. I didn't fit in so well because I went to high school in Texas and I grew up in a conservative area. But people knew who I was. The only thing I do regret was in college. I feel like I wish I would have taken broadcasting more seriously. I did.
Yeah, well,
but
that's easy to say looking back. I mean, what you want to do. What about you, Joey? 1 to 10, man. How hard did you try?
When it comes to education, I'm probably 3.
I did not try at all. Damn, a 3. Holy shit, you fucking slacker.
I graduated with like a 2.0, straight C's. Everything was a C. Like I looked at my freshman to senior year, like all my grades, and it was like C, 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 B minus.
It was like
D,
a
D, C, C, C.
It was like
C,
a Mexican guy was reading your report card.
Yeah, exactly. C, C. It was crazy. And I got like everything done off cheating. Like I would just add, like I was such a slacker. I would wake up, homework would be the next day, math or whatever, and I'd be like, "Hey, Caitlin, did you do your homework?" "Yes, Joey. Let me see it just real quick." And I'd fucking scramble the answers down.
I wish they gave you like a.
That's how I was.
Cheated every fucking day.
I took French freshman year and sophomore year, and I got caught. I got caught cheating my freshman year. In French, I showed up to the classroom like 5 minutes early, and this other girl was there too, and I said, "Hey, I didn't finish last night's homework. Can I see your paper?" And I was copying it, and I did not see her. My French teacher came and just picked up my paper, and I'm just like, "Fuck."
She said. Oh la la! Yeah. Oh la la!
She said something. No, no, no. She said something, but
oui. That's yeah.
No,
that's
she. Yes. My French teacher.
No.
My French teacher in high school was a badass. We're actually friends on Facebook. So.
Oh, she must
and,
be badass.
Yeah. And I helped her. And I helped her rake her yard, raked leaves in her yard one time for extra credit.
Oh, there you go. You're a much smarter person for that.
Yeah,
learn how to use a yard tool.
And so, but as far as like hanging out and popularity, I probably gave it a 9. That's what I cared about more.
Oh, geez. So did you make it?
I was homecoming king.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. You're such a liar. You're so
dead
full
serious.
Of shit.
Senior year, homecoming king. Homecoming the people king. Voted me Joey as homecoming
Cruz?
King.
Joey Cruz is
king? Hey, you know why I didn't get homecoming king in my school? Because I was black.
Because you tried to steal other people's thunder?
Homecoming gangster.
Well, they just accused me of stealing shit anyway. Because yeah.
You know who you kind of look like? Have you ever got this guy? You look like a young Frank Gore.
Fuck you. I'm not
Frank Gore is the fucking
he's
shit.
He's a Niner, but give the
Frank
guy some credit.
The Tank. Oh, he's not a Niner anymore.
Oh, well, yeah. Not, well,
he plays for the Lions now. Well, no, who's he play for now?
Did somebody else sign him?
He plays for the Colts.
Oh, the Colts. Oh, he's out there.
I had him on my fantasy football team last year, man. He's fucking Frank the Tank. Hall of Famer, man. That's safety's a compliment, man. Oh, dude, he's a beast.
Kaepernick claimed him to be a Hall of Famer, so I got to say that he probably won't be just because of
no,
that.
No, he'll be a Hall of Famer. He's got so many rushing yards. He's been playing so long, and he's still playing. He's got more rushing. If you think Marshawn Lynch will make it, Frank the Tank will make it. Frank the Tank will be a Hall
Frank
of Famer.
Frank the Tank!
But, you know, dude, Lynch got us to multiple
He's got, multiple you know, Frank's got, like, though. You got to realize, Frank's got, like 2,000 more yards than Marshawn Lynch, or 1,000 more yards, maybe. Than
Marshawn Lynch. Which one is it, pal?
Probably 1,000. I don't even know. I just know he's got more. He's got at least
20 more yards. At least Marshawn's 20 more yards.
Marshawn's retired, and he's still playing.
Well, we'll see how much he's going to be
Tank
playing
will be in
year.
The Hall of Fame.
We'll he's going to get 5 carries a game. We'll see. I don't know. We might have to put a little side money on this
Let's
one,
put
Joey.
Some money on it. Yeah. How much you want to put? $400 on it?
You know I'm really anxious?
I don't want to. I'm not going to do any numbers on the air, all right?
You know who I'm really anxious to watch this year? RG3.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. For the Browns. It'll be great watching him sit on the bench.
Well, he's got some receivers, too. Josh Gordon will be coming back.
They lost Travis Benjamin, though.
Yeah, but they got Gordon back. Oh, you want to smoke now? Let's fucking smoke.
Jesus Christ!
Why don't you want your listeners knowing?
Because I'm trying to be a sneaky prick, you know.
Why don't you? This is Seattle. It's legal. We're not doing anything wrong. You confessed to smoking while driving, which is way worse than smoking during a podcast.
Hey, you know, I've had this conversation with somebody. Okay, this girl, I was talking to her about it. She started giving me shit. I told her she's like, do you smoke before you drive? And I was like. Yeah, I've done it before. I do it sometimes. She's like, oh, my God. She's like, that's so irresponsible. I was like, oh, really? Really? How many accidents have you been in? She's like, well, there was that one when I was young that I did get into.
But you know she's right, right?
There's
it doesn't matter whatever you say. She is right.
There's another one.
Smoking and then going and driving.
There's another one when I was like 23. But that wasn't my fault, though. I had one about a year ago.
I'm taking this girl's side. That wasn't
my fault. Listen. You think it's irresponsible of me to smoke and drive? I think it's irresponsible of you to fucking go out there and bang your car into other people's shit, all right? I haven't been in one goddamn accident in my entire life. This girl who's been in 3 accidents. Well, I haven't been in one accident in my entire life, okay?
Yeah, but one wasn't
not
her fault.
One.
Maybe one wasn't her fault.
I've thought I was going to die behind the wheel at least a couple dozen times.
Yes or no?
But I've never been in an accident.
Yes or no? Is it irresponsible?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I honestly don't think so.
What about
I think,
drink before you drive?
Oh, no question. Well, I mean, you want to hear about
what about irresponsible as far as a DUI? Or like just getting in trouble with as an individual, it's irresponsible because hey, you get fucking pulled over now, and they look at your fucking eyes and they test you. It's your word.
You gotta have the Visine
going, man.
You can
fucking
just
fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
It's irresponsible. I'm not judging you. I fucking do it.
It's like you're in a video game. It's like your life is a video game when you're driving around on the freeway. It's like you're playing a game of Crazy Taxi or something when you're high as shit. And you're just like, oh, my God, what is going on here? What is this crazy transportation tube that I'm driving in? It's like you're playing a fucking video game.
Exactly. But the thing is you don't get to start over if you fucking wreck your car.
I don't get
game
3 lives.
Over for good.
I don't get 3 lives? Come on. I mean, you know, I'm going to bang into some. No, not one accident, man, in my entire. Okay, this might be the one thing that I am most proud of. In my that's how sad my life is. Okay, my most proud thing is that I've never been even involved in a collision.
Yeah, that's sad. That's the thing you're most proud.
Hey, listen, I'm going with all I got here. Okay, I'm fucking barely hanging on,
man.
Joey. I'm barely hanging on here. All right.
What do? You got a good life. I mean, I'm looking. This is a nice apartment.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We're chilling in Aaron's apartment right now. He's got a good job.
Yeah, I got a leather couch. I'm hitting it big here. You know. I'm trying to find something to do for a living that I like even mildly give a shit about. That's basically my goal at this point.
That's a good goal. How old are you?
As a 30-year-old that doesn't have a career lined up here, I'm just trying to find something that I don't think completely sucks. So
that's the goal, man.
That is the fucking goal. This guy though, he's Mr. Career now. He's figured it all out here. He's got it all fucking
out. I was actually going to tell you the one time I got into a car accident, it was my fault.
Only one?
Yeah, only one. So back in my back in college, I didn't know how to drive.
That's a good podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, they're lighting up here. So anyway, so one of my coworkers from a steakhouse is teaching me how to drive. And she lets me drive to work. I don't have a permit or anything. But
how old were you?
I was 21.
Okay.
And she's letting me drive to work because we both work the same shift. And I'm parking, and right by our restaurant is this Chinese restaurant, and in the parking lot right in front of the parking space was just this big wall. This big rocky wall. So I'm parking in the spot, and instead of stepping on the brake, I step on the gas. So we go off the parking lot, and then we hit that rocky wall, and you know the airbags come out.
Oh shit!
Yeah, and she gets out immediately, and she sees the front of the car, and she starts fucking crying. And I'm just like, oh shit! I'm gonna have to pay for this.
No control of the emotions there. No control of the emotions. Something bad happens, and you just completely lose your shit. Sorry, ladies, but you got to work on it.
Yeah, and I didn't cry or anything. I was just like, holy shit! And the first person I called was my dad, and he told me, hey, just save up your money. And save up your money and
get a second job.
Yeah, and I actually did. And he said that he was going to help me. And the lady, my coworker's mom, because my coworker was like 2 years younger than me, so she was, you know,
she was fucking hot.
Ooh, a little young guy.
She was 19. Okay. She was young and
she was okay.
Young and dumb.
She was okay, but. Her mom was fucking crazy. Like, her mom was like...
Where are you going with this?
No, her
Where
mom...
Where the fuck are you going with
no,
this?
No, her mom used to call me and... Her mom used to call me and say, you're going to make your payment this month? You're going to make your payment this month? And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I remember my dad had to call her mom and say, hey, lay off my son. He's working 40 hours a week. He's still going to school full time. He's gonna get you your money to fix the car, and I think I had to. I think it was like $1,500.
They didn't have any insurance.
No, she only had liability.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah.
Mm, that does suck.
Yeah,
I've been in some accidents.
Oh, I can tell.
I broke my neck one time. You looked out of like a car window,
but I ended up paying it off.
Boom. That's what
all of my fucking money.
That's what Frank the Tank does.
Motherfucker, I am not Frank Gore.
Tell me the story. What
Rashad,
were you about?
Rashad the bot.
He's working on that bot. He's working on that bot. Tell me this. What were you getting into? I want to hear this shit.
I got in a car accident, broke my neck one time.
Oh yeah, so casual about it.
Yeah, it was prom night actually.
Oh my, you're just. What do you think? How dumb do I look? All right,
I'm
you're
dead
just making
serious.
This shit up.
I'm not making this shit up.
What the fuck, Joey?
You know who Nolan Culver? You know Nolan Culver? Yeah. I do comedy with Nolan.
Yeah.
And
good guy.
Yeah, and we have a YouTube channel, ShadyShoresComedy.com.
Shady Shores Comedy. Get that plug, man. Yeah. I was going to give it to you later, but you snuck it. That's good.
It just came up naturally.
No, hey, it's fine, man. That's what we're here for.
So, anyways, we took a Suburban to, like, the space, you know, that's where our dance was.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we're driving back. Everyone's wearing their seatbelt. Nolan flips the car.
Oh, my God.
I'm not wearing my seatbelt. I fly out the window.
Were you in the front seat?
I was in the back.
Back seat?
Yeah. Fly out the window, land in the ditch. The car's rolling towards me. I fucking get up, and I just start praying in tongues.
What?
Fucking losing my mind, man.
Oh, my God. So you were, like, laying there, and you saw... You were, like, laying there, and you saw the car, like, coming at you?
I remember everything. It's, like, slow motion. Jesus. I flew out the window. I remember seeing my feet... straight in front of me, And I remember watching the glass from the window that I just broke and flew through. I remember seeing it fall and then the car spinning around. And I remember the lights coming through the glass and making a prism. I remember seeing all that shit as I'm flying out. Because, like, your mind's in hyperdrive.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, everything's in slow motion. I fly in the ditch, and the car's, like, rolling towards me. And I, like, spring up off the ditch. I'm like, just speaking in tongues. We're heading to a party. God. There's some people behind us. Like, they start, they see it flip. They fucking go to town. They light flares, call 911. I'm running around. And my back just felt like it was on fire. And, like, I got all cut up. Like, I show you scars on my back. I got, it was all bloody. It was like the fucking.
You still have them?
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, I still got the scars, man.
They don't go away, motherfucker.
They look like I got attacked by a fucking tiger. Like,
oh,
just,
my Lord.
And then went to Harborview. Was in
a
neck
brace. Did you tell
people
that you got attacked by a tiger?
Yeah, I did. I started telling people that. Because I was walking around wearing a neck brace for 3.5 months afterwards. And people, when you're wearing a fucking neck brace, just the nice guy at the. At the restaurant, oh, what happened to your neck? Wants to ask.
Oh, sorry, pal. Hey, what's going on over there? On? You know, that looks kind of rough.
Everyone, and then you're like,
hey,
oh,
Jimmy,
yeah.
How's it going?
You tell the real story, and then somebody else asks you 5 minutes later, what happened to your neck? And you tell the real story again.
Oh, geez, and that's then, a crazy thing you got there. What happened to you?
Then 7 minutes later, somebody else asks you, and you just like, oh, you know, I got fucking attacked by a cougar. I was hiking, and you just look like a boss.
I don't got time for this, okay?
Yeah, you get Jesus sick of the Christ. Same story.
You got attacked by
trying to heal my vertebrae. Yeah.
You got attacked C6. By a woman. You got attacked by a woman 20 years older than you.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
You said cougar.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
but nobody in the car got hurt though, huh?
No, they were all wearing seatbelts, so they didn't fucking fly out the window like an idiot.
Nobody important was injured. That's good.
Yeah,
at least.
Just the unimportant person.
Fucking hey, man. Hey, you know that's how prom king goes, man. You know, easy come, easy go, man.
Not prom king. It was homecoming king.
Oh, sorry. See,
this is prom that happened.
Oh, okay. What's bigger? Is it the prom king or
well,
homecoming
prom's
king bigger?
Bigger, I think.
Homecoming's the whole school, though. That's
well,
the whole
here's
fucking
the thing.
School.
Homecoming, the people vote.
Uh huh.
Like, at the entire school votes.
So, what do you want to be? You want to be a man of the people or what?
Yeah, I want the people to like me.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about the establishment.
Yeah.
The prom.
Fuck authority.
The prom, like, the people who vote that in is like a group of teachers. So, like, the prom king was this nerd. No, he wasn't a nerd, but, like, he was just a good guy. Got 4.0, you know. Uh-huh. Like, the prom king's, like, the boy of the school.
Yeah, he's the gem.
Who's the guy the school wants to represent? The people voted me 2.0, C graduate student, you know. Not giving a fuck. Those are the people voted in, you know. Prom king was, like, a really good dude. He's, like, probably solving some disease right now and... something.
Actually making something of himself.
It's the same shit,
he's
you know.
Not quite as accomplished as you doing comedy all around the Puget Sound.
You don't know what he's doing right now?
I don't.
No,
the King.
I think you're right, though. I think a homecoming king is where it's at. Because that's the whole school.
Yeah,
that's everybody.
Everyone.
And that's like kicking this year off. It's like, how's this year going to go? Well, let's see. We got our homecoming football game. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully we win that. But either way, we're going to this dance. And with me and my friends, it was, yeah, and we're going to get fucked up. So this
dude,
should be a good time. This should be good. I mean,
it was a good high school experience for me. I had a lot of good people and good friends, and it was fun.
Yeah, high school was a fun time. I remember my brother, I had a birthday, and he wrote me on a card. He said, you know, it gets better than this. Don't worry about it. It gets better than this. I look back now. I'm like, what the fuck do you mean, man?
Getting,
are you kidding me? I plateaued way too early. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, you just never plateau, really.
Yeah. I had a little bit of an upward trajectory, and then it immediately was stopped.
It is a weird thing. Like, there's a lot of people out there who, like, their best part of their life was high school. And now their best days are over. It's just going to keep getting worse and worse as they get older. Just the most depressing shit.
Like Peter Gibbons from Office Space.
Yeah.
You know what I thought about the other day? I feel like when people say, damn, that just seems like it was yesterday. I just feel like between then and now, not a lot of shit has gone on in their life. If something from 10 years ago seems like yesterday,
yeah.
it's pretty...
Totally.
Like there's still people in my town who... when I go back and visit, they're talking about shit from high school, and I'm like, okay, that
the
was good.
Good old days. Those were the good old days.
It wasn't the good old days for me. I told you the high school I went to. It wasn't fucking Saved by the Bell. I was a fucking screech.
Oh my god!
You were so happy when you left that.
Is that
place.
Kind of some kind of hair reference?
Yeah, and no.
Oh, okay.
No, man. I was just a fucking. I wasn't a nerd. I was the butt of the joke of everything because I let racist jokes get to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get into that because I don't want
to. No,
I don't want people.
No one wants to hear it.
Yeah, no one wants to hear that shit.
Oh, I want to hear it.
No, you don't.
Fuck out of here, Jerry.
You don't
tank us on the first time you're on the episode.
You don't,
of the show,
trust
right?
me. You don't want to hear this shit because I went through some fucked
up
shit.
Yeah, I probably don't.
But that's. Yeah. But, you know, what you were saying, though, man. Some people, their best days were when they were like 14 and they were like some phenom athlete and they were like winning shit, doing some crazy like gymnastics or something like that, you know? I mean, everybody peaks at different spots, man. And where do you want to be peaking? That's the real question in my opinion. You know, I'm 30 years old. Obviously, I'm nowhere where
I think you want to peak at 60. 60.
60? Really?
Yeah.
That's like when you're making the big bucks. Those are like your heavy earning
years.
I
think 60, like if you don't peak... Like, if you don't peak at 60, then I don't think you're doing it right.
Because,
I think, let's say high school's great. Like, high school's been great was great for me. If that's my peak, I fucking fail, right? But I should be like, I need to peak higher. I can go higher.
Yeah.
And then try and do something more risky that you love doing or whatever and go higher. I'm just thinking about, comedy and stuff.
Yeah.
And let's say something happens really good in my 30s. I should still... believing until I'm like 40 that I can keep being better and doing better. Like always just believe you can do better.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's hope. That's...
Maybe 90's the peak. I don't know. I don't know.
It could be by
is.
The time we're that old, man. It could be with the fucking technology and shit they got going on. They're curing everything right now, it seems like. These guys are killing it, except for fucking Zika, man. That small baby weird shit, that Beetlejuice virus. That's Central America. Oh, man, that's a weird one. I don't even know what the hell's going on with that, but...
Man, the problem with a lot of people that we grew up with, and I'm pretty sure that you've had people in your class that are like this. You've had people that you grew up with like this, and I have more than enough people that are like this that I grew up with. They're afraid of change.
Yeah.
They are afraid of change. They are afraid to step out of our hometown.
Risky. It's risky.
It's not fucking risky. It's called being an adult and doing something.
I agree, but they think it's risky, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and it's not.
Like, you're done. You walk the stage. No one gives a shit about you anymore. You don't represent that high school anymore. Go out and do something with your life. Make the town proud other than fucking rushing for 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns in one season.
Yeah, when you were bigger than everybody.
Yeah, and leading your football team to the state championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. Is that what you're... I mean, you know, you sound like fucking Al Bundy from Married with Children.
Yeah. Hey, look
Uncle at... Uncle Rico.
He's banging Sophia, though.
Ed O'Neill.
He's peaking around 60, like you said, Joey.
Yeah,
right around 60. He's
Ed O'Neill, that's the guy that you want to live your life like.
He's never going to get a hotter chick than that, dude. 30, never.
35 years old, married with children, great show. You know, does some other shit, enjoys life a little bit, having a good time. Comebacks at 60 and is a bomb. Fucking on a major network, getting just tons of money.
Dude, and hanging out with the hottest chick around.
Just snorting coke off her ass. No.
Probably, who knows, maybe. But
no, it's fucking, he's a great example of what I would like my life to be like.
Oh, my God.
Ed O'Neill.
Guy's killing it.
Ed O'Neill.
Guy's
Ed O'Neill's killing it.
Dude, I think you might be right, though. I think later is better on the peak. I really think it is.
Yeah.
And as much as... You know, like I was saying, like I'm not where I wanted to be. Obviously, I don't know if anybody really is where they wanted or hope to be at
this
point in their life.
Here's what I know I'm losing that I don't like, and it's making me less of a good person, is like energy. You know, because you're just getting older.
Yeah,
like you don't have that.
It's not a renewable resource. Like Red Bull would make you.
And the way you like your body feels when you can like after you go for a fucking 2 mile, 3 mile run, you're just like, oh, I'm so sore and shit. Like, I never used to have that.
Yeah.
So I've already, you know, That's why I think 60, you could still be in pretty good physical shape.
Yeah.
But once you hit 80, fuck, man, you're on a fucking walker.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It's downhill.
Oh, dude, you're lucky if you're not a hunchback.
It just depends with how you take care of yourself.
That's true. Look at Richard Simmons. You know, that guy's still doing it.
I'm a pony.
He's probably early 70s. Early 72, 73.
Yeah.
Jeez,
although, man. I heard there's a rumor that his housekeeper has him kidnapped. That's what they've been saying now. So he's being held against his will by his housekeeper.
What does that even mean? Is
that real? She's just not letting him out or anything. He had a bum ankle or something. And it's just speculation, you know. It's probably TMZ or something like that. But
wait, that's the weirdest. That's the weirdest thing. His housekeeper's keeping him, like, at home?
Yeah,
what if
she's just, like, a real pushy lady, you know, and just knows that he doesn't really have any power? He's a 72-year-old. He can't do that much. And maybe she's, you know, going all Kathy Bates on him or something. I mean, who knows?
That's a crazy, crazy accusation, if you ask me.
He put this statement out, too, saying that he wasn't.
Oh, he put something out?
Yeah,
oh.
After, like, he did, like, went on some local news or something, but I don't know. It just seemed kind of weird. The whole situation, it was like, it was awkward, but he was doing good before all this shit.
Fuck. Richard Simmons, man. I remember watching him on the preview channel when I was watching that channel trying to find shit to watch. He was on the paid programming on the preview channel, and I would look at my grandma and say, who the fuck is this guy? Like this yeah. guy, something is wrong with this guy.
Getting it done.
I'm
man.
A pony. I'm a pony.
It was like him and Pee Wee Herman in the growing up, like that age. Like,
oh, yeah.
Really weird shows and stuff. Yeah. I'm two weird people.
Yeah. Well, they were like the first gay guys, you know. They were undercover still at the time.
Hey,
when they got going,
don't make
still
fun
early.
Of Paul. Paul Rubens is the man. Paul, besides the fact he got caught beating his meat.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe he got arrested for that.
Like, what else are you going to...
unfair punishment?
What else are you going to expect in a porno theater?
That's yeah, true, I'm actually, sure, like, yeah. 10 guys are jacking off in there.
But he's the one that got caught.
He was the only one that was recognizable.
So. I remember... Yeah. You know what's weird? I remember when that happened. Like, I remember my dad telling me about it. And I was super young. I was like, did my dad just tell me that, like, this guy was, like, beaten off in a movie theater? Like... And I was like, I'm young, and now I didn't even realize it when I was a kid. You know, like,
had you beaten off at the time?
I think I did, but I didn't know it was called beaten off.
You didn't know the verbiage yet?
I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know what was happening.
But
I just remember my dad was like, yeah, Pee Wee Herman got arrested. I was like, really? Why? Why did he arrest? He's beaten off in the movie theater. And that's like all my dad said, and I was like, whatever that means. I thought he was like beating somebody up, like assault. Like beating people.
That's so wow. Funny.
That'd be the last person in the world that I could ever see getting arrested for assault. I heard of the word masturbate when that happened, but I didn't know what masturbating meant. And you know what's
that was
funny?
A fishing product.
You know what's funny? And I got laughed at. I got someone laughed at me for this. Back then, I didn't know that masturbating and jacking off was the same. I thought masturbating, you're just touching yourself, and jacking off, you're fucking getting that release. I thought there was two different things. But and then like a few months later, I asked my mom, and she's like, and she said, yeah, that's, son, that's the same thing. Masturbating and jacking off, they're the same.
You asked your mom?
I was pretty wow. open with my
you
mom.
You must have been pretty... Yeah, man, that's really open. Mom,
Jesus Christ.
What's the difference between jacking off and masturbating?
I mean, my mom was single. My dad lived in Georgia, so I went to her for everything.
Joey, your mom...
No way. Me and my dad didn't even talk about it. My dad was so bad when it came to sexual education.
Oh,
there was this one time he was like trying to tell me, like... One time he tried to tell me, like... He tried to freak me out of masturbation. Like it was a wrong, like it was a sin.
Oh my gosh, no.
You know? But he didn't say it. You know, he gave me this weird thing like, you know, Joey, growing up, like, there was this kid, and he would always used to sneak off to the bathroom by himself, and like, this is literally what he fucking said. And, you know, he'd think, you know, he'd be going, doing something weird in the bathroom. So he'd say, doing something weird in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
And you know what, like, he would come back and want to play, but we just all thought he was weird. You know, like, he tried to make it sound like if you jack off, people are going to not like you and they're going to think you're weird.
Yeah, people really don't like that. They don't like when you do that.
Yeah, and I was like, but like, it was just, it was so weird to think.
Okay. Did it work, though? Was it effective?
No, because I knew all of us were jacking off. Like, we'd talk about it. So it's like, all my friends are doing it. Yeah, all my friends are doing it. Like, they're not going to be like, oh, wow, Cruz, Jack, you know, like, you know. It was the worst thing to, like, tell a kid. And that's how he told me about
it. It was just confirmation.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who had a stepsister, and they did not like each other. And they were the same age, and I was the same age as them. So we all went to the same middle school, junior high school, and I would see them, like, I would see them, like, walk by each other, and they wouldn't say anything. And he told me that, like he hated her. And I spent the night at his house one time, and she was gone. And we went into her bedroom. I don't know why, I forgot. And he says, "Hey, Rashad, hey, step out. Give me about 30 seconds. I'll be right back. Or just stay outside."
30 seconds?
And 30 seconds to jerk off?
And I said, "Oh, well, listen, man." And I said, "Okay." And then, you know, around the 25 second mark, I just hear, oh. I've never, this is when we were young, like really young. So, and I've never jacked off before then. So, and I'm like,
"Do you remember your first?" I have a joke about this.
Well, and then, and he opens the door and he says, "Hey, Rashad, check this out." And there's his nut on her bed. I'm like, and I said, you nasty son of a bitch.
Joey.
Yeah.
Be honest.
Okay, I can be honest.
Has your mom ever caught you?
No, but my dad did.
Your pops caught
you. My pops caught me once.
Was this before or after talking about the guy who went to the bathroom for weird reasons?
This was right after because of it.
What were you beating your meat to?
This is the reason why. Like, this is the reason why he had this conversation with me about.
Oh, okay.
Because he caught me. And then, like, fucking, I had a baseball game to go to. And it was on the way to the baseball game where he was telling me, like, he's like, you know, like, where he tried to fear me out of masturbating because he just caught me. Uh-huh. That's why that conversation came up.
So were you knocking one out so that you were calm your nerves a little bit before the game? Or?
This is what happened. It was a half day, so we got her at home early. My dad works night shifts, so he sleeps in the day, right? Uh-huh. Always asleep when I got home. So I came home. This is no joke. This is what I was going to jerk off to. A City Slickers 2 clip.
That was raw material back then.
I had we rented like City Slickers, and there's like a scene I remember, and I watched it with my parents where she was like calling her husband, and she's like, "Happy birthday," or something like that. And I thought she's being all sexual and like, "I'm gonna give you something so good." I was gonna jerk off to that. That's what I was gonna jerk off
to.
So
you wanted the audio more than anything?
I think so. So I got the tape. I took it to my room. I had a VHS tape player and a TV in my room. And so I had it in there. I'm playing it. When I was jerking off, I got butt-ass naked in my room.
Oh, man.
So I'm in my room, butt-ass completely naked,
exposed.
Fucking ready to go to town. My dad's sleeping, right? And I got this thing going on. All of a sudden, like, you could hear in our house, you could hear when someone's walking down the hallway. And I fucking heard footsteps coming down the hallway. And I was like, oh, shit. So I was like, someone's coming. And the only person I think is probably my dad. So I turned the TV off, right? I'm like, I'm naked. I got to try and find something. My dad, like, comes in like, "Hey, you want to play a quick game, video game?" Comes in. I'm fucking, like, naked. I'm trying to, like, hide in this corner. And he was, like, so, like, what? He didn't know he lost his shit. He didn't know what to do. He panicked. He's like, "Oh my god, oh my god!" And I was like, "Dad, this is the only thing that came to my chest." He's like, "Dad, don't come in. I'm changing." That's what I said. I'm changing, and I had like no clothes or anything. I'm trying to like cover myself.
You have to at that
point.
And
this is what he said. This is what he said. He's like, "You're changing. You're changing. Then why y'all stiff?" I'll never forget those words.
"Why are you all stiff?"
"Then why y'all stiff?" That was so, I knew exactly what it meant when he said it. I had never heard anyone say that, but you just know.
That's why getting butt naked is so risky, man. Oh, it's so risky. Man, you can't talk your way out of that one.
It was the most embarrassing thing. Dad, why are you changing?
Why didn't you get under the covers or something?
Fuck, I shot up out of the bed because I thought I could like get changed in time, you know, and have like clothes on. So I jumped up out of the bed, pulled open my thing, and I was like looking for like boxers and shorts, and there was fucking nothing.
Oh my god! There was like nothing.
I had just jeans. Because I could hear when the footsteps come. I'm like, okay,
you
shit.
You immediately spun into action.
It was like that.
Oh my god!
Jumped up, turned the TV off, fucking hopped up, went over to my dresser, looking for shit. I'm like, there's nothing here. I'm looking through the drawers, nothing. That's when the door opens. No. It was like a knock and an immediate open, where it's like one knock and just I'm coming
barely
in.
Barely a courtesy knock.
Yeah. And fuck. Dad, I'm changing. You're changing. You're changing. And why are you all stiff?
Oh, man.
And he couldn't take it. He stormed out. He stormed out of the bedroom.
That's got to be the funniest shit I've heard in a long time. You're changing. You're changing.
Why are you all stiff?
Oh man, I'm dead. I'm dead over here.
It's one of those things that has to happen.
Oh,
and I've been
no.
there before too. You hear those footsteps, you hear the creaking of the house,
yeah.
And it's just complete horror. You're just like, oh my god, my
I'm
life's about to be,
naked
my
right
life's
now.
About to be over. Holy
my dad's
shit.
About to come in my
Holy
bedroom.
Shit. Oh god. I'm all stiff right now. Oh yeah. Fuck.
So
dude.
You're,
yeah, that's, first, it's terrifying.
The first thing you jacked off to was City Slickers 2 with
no,
Billy.
No. I was in the game for a while. That was like I was like seventh grade. That happened.
Oh, what do you remember? Do you remember the first
I remember
image
early,
or video or movie you jacked off to?
I remember very well. The first thing I had was a wet dream. I had a dream when I was like in fourth grade of me. I was like in a pool of naked women bodies. That's what it was. It was a weird.
Oh
like
my god!
Dream
did you go to Jihadist Heaven? Is that what happened?
Exactly what it was. It was like a pool.
72 of them, virgins,
there
all of them.
A lot of women, and it was great. And I remember waking up, I was like, "What? That was awesome." And I tried to like, I remember I slept on the couch in the living room and sleep in my bed. And then I woke up in a certain way and I fell asleep a certain way. I tried doing that to try and get that dream back.
Like,
I
need to recreate that.
I want to be back there wherever I was. And it didn't work.
My first wet dream was I was dreaming that I was fingering this girl that I went to high school with, who I used to mess around with.
So was it in high school you had your first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, mine was like fourth grade.
Oh, my God.
God damn.
You perv.
Well, I'm a late bloomer. So, no, my first one was in high school, and I'm fingering this girl, and then she starts laughing. And right when she starts laughing.
Sure this wasn't a real situation?
And fuck you. And right when she starts laughing, yeah. And I look under the covers, and I'm like, oh, that again. Yeah.
I remember, like, fourth grade was, like, third, even a little bit of third grade. Third, like, the second, I remember
damn,
sexuality.
Third grade?
Well, just thinking sexual thoughts. Like, I want to touch that. I want that around. I want to be naked with that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember in third grade talking with a friend, and we made up stories about our babysitter, you know, and it's like these sexual stories. And this was like, we talking about this in third grade.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, there was some fucking, it was early for me, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, my babysitter.
What was the first time you masturbated? Do you remember?
Me?
Both of you.
Who? I was just going to say, actually, since you went there with it, my first sexual experience, actually, I'm actually kind of proud to say this, was with a machine. I had a massage. My mom had bought this massage machine. It had like the double little pumpers that put you, on. I did it on my back. Oh, that felt good. You know, I did it on my arm. Oh, that was nice. Did it kind of on my stomach. Ooh, that kind of felt weird.
Yeah.
And it just kept going lower and lower, you know?
How old were you, Robert?
I was probably about 14 at the time.
Okay, so that's pretty old.
It was middle school. I was in middle school. I was kind of, you know, holding back. But yeah, I was with the machine. I just kept getting lower and lower, and holy cow, that thing rocked. That thing
people are getting turned on this episode.
That thing rocked my that baby rocked my world,
why y'all
man.
Stiff.
Oh god, getting ugly here, dude. Fucking A. Do you think there's more masturbating going on now with internet porn, or is it just the same and everybody just likes?
I think there's more.
There's got to be more.
More masturbation.
Yeah, there was no internet porn in the 90s. Well, it was, but it was like at 456 millikilobytes a second. So it's not like Pornhub and Brazzers where it's HD.
Yeah, that's true. When I was younger, I was actually in a very nice spot. My brother, when he was in high school and a little bit out of high school, he worked at a porno warehouse.
Oh, so you got easy.
Oh, dude, he would bring home so many movies, all this shit all the time. You know, because this was before internet. I mean, the internet, Napster was around, but you weren't on the computer watching.
Yeah,
you need a laptop to jerk off. You know, if you're gonna go take it to the bedroom, you know, and turn the lights down and kind of do your thing. Maybe light a candle if that's what you're into. You can't do that with a desktop. It just doesn't work. Yeah. You know, the keyboard's all located in the wrong spot. It doesn't work, but. He was hooking it up, and yeah, that was nice, man. I was going through his shit all the time, switching movies here and
the internet chat rooms?
We got into those briefly for a minute.
Ooh,
but
I got some stories for y'all.
It was all about the IM though. You IM with your friends after school
instant
and shit.
Message AOL or whatever.
Yeah, you with your friends.
Yahoo, Yahoo chat room.
Fucking Yahoo, couple of Yahoos. Yeah,
man, there are times where I shouldn't have been in those chat rooms. So. I had AOL before there was broadband internet, you know, I had my own, I had a computer in my room, and I had free internet time between 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. because no one would call between that time. After 8 a.m., my mom and her roommate would start getting calls. So I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning surfing the internet, but I wouldn't really be surfing the internet. I would be on the, I'd be in the chat rooms. In chat rooms I shouldn't have been in. I would be like, I was 12 and I would be in like, I would be talking to other kids my age. But there are sometimes I'm like, wait a minute, you're 20, why are you talking to me?
Yeah, I don't know. People were doing the chat rooms. They were doing the internet.
It's pretty sketchy, but man, people.
Okay, come on, Jesus Christ, man, let's keep this fucking moving here. God damn. Do you remember
dude,
that?
I gotta be honest. I don't know what the fuck was just said.
God, dude, nothing. That was the problem. Do you guys remember though when there was only one person that could go on at a time? So it was like if you wanted to be on the internet and doing your thing,
the phone,
but your mom had an important call that was coming in. Yeah. She had to take precedence, and you just had to
if
go.
Someone was on the internet, or something. And you picked up the phone. It would be like,
oh god.
I remember one time I asked this girl to the dance in eighth grade, and then my mom got a call and it kicked me off.
Well, you didn't have a chance with her anyway, to be honest. I mean, I don't want to break your heart here, but...
How do you know?
That girl was beautiful, all right? She was an angel.
She still might have a chance.
No, but I just can't believe that, man. Like, how old and how far we've come in the last 10 years of technology. I mean, it's just fucking exploded like crazy. And back then, we loved it. You know, we were like, holy shit, this is the shit. We thought it couldn't get any better. And now it's like... are you kidding me? I have to wait 5 seconds for this entire movie to buffer on my phone. This is bullshit. I need a new phone or to change my carrier.
In 15 years, you know, like it's exploded from
just exponential.
Everyone having a cell phone to the cell phone to be able to like connect to the internet, fucking Wi-Fi. It's amazing.
I got a question. When you are on Facebook and when you see those memes, they're like, man, I miss the 90s. And they bring up all this shit, like the old school Nintendo, Gigapets, big ass cell phone. And I'm just like, you really miss all that shit? I mean, we're in 2016 and you really miss having the big ass cell phone where you can't make a call inside. You got to go outside and make the phone call.
Pull up the antenna.
Yeah, and pull up the antenna because you can't get...
No snake.
Yeah, you can't get good oh my god, that fucking game was awesome. Yeah, but it was you can't.
It, yeah. That's why they miss it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because well, that fucking game was awesome.
You and can no one plays
that fucking game anymore.
No, you can download Snake on the in the Google Store and the iTunes Store.
Yeah, but you can't do that anymore. Like, because it's like, you know what it's like, the progress. Have you ever heard of like when people talk about like sexuality, like it always starts really innocent, and the more you get into like sicker stuff, you just keep diving deeper and deeper, and you crave more, and you just like with your sexuality, you know what I mean? Like, have you heard that? Like,
weed's a gateway drug.
Yeah, same thing with like weed or whatever. It's it is like, you get how that can happen. You know, like you could see, okay, yeah, I could see how this takes you to there and this takes you there.
Yeah.
But that happens with us with like progress too, as far as what you're saying with the cell phones. Like we used to fucking flip out with Snake, and it was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, this is amazing, or something super simple.
Yeah.
And now we've seen so much, it's like really hard to please us. You know what I mean?
The fact that you could change the cover of your Nokia out, and you could have a different cover that had all different kinds of colors and shit.
Whoa.
That was fucking revolutionary.
That was crazy.
That was revolutionary. And you could do a million different. You could have a million different phones.
And you know
all different colors.
You know what it did to us when that came out and something like that came out. It really like it impressed us so much, and we were mesmerized. And there was wonder. That's the word I was looking for. Wonder. Like, it gave us wonder about like that type of shit.
Yeah.
And now like we're so far into technology, and we've become numb to a little bit, you know, to it a little bit, that we need something to wow us again, and it's got to be way more complex, you know?
It's exponential. We got to fucking outdo ourselves 8 times over, you know? It's, I mean, how many plates do we got to have spinning here at one time? It's insane. It's not going to end, you know? Well, it will, but it's going to end badly, I think. But man, for now, we have the craziest technology.
You know, we have technology that can take atoms. It takes atoms and it fucking throws it at each other, and they're making atoms collide. We have technology that can make that happen, that can create atoms or something like that and throw them at each other for experience and put different molecules in there. We're fucking making molecules and shit. What is that? That's fucking insane.
You know what piece of technology catches my eye the most? The 4K TV. That thing is a powerful.
Wait, time out. Are you saying the 4K over making fucking atoms? Like,
no, man. Well, we're talking about fucking technology.
It has a 1,200 pixel display, Joey. All right.
I mean, I know you are giving me shit, but man, I mean,
1080 refresh rate. All right.
When Best Buy is in the area, that's the only reason why I walk in to check that piece of art out. It's like you're actually there. You're actually looking at it. You're actually there.
It does suck you in. You're like, yes. you're almost melted into that TV.
You're walking around and then you turn to your left. You're like, oh my god.
Yeah, the TV experience.
It's like you're in the coral reef and you're seeing all these fish around you and everything, you know, or whatever the hell they show in those.
Yeah, they always show that. Yeah,
it's Sony.
You walk in and there's fucking fishes everywhere. With the coral
octopus
reef.
Maybe doing some fucking shit, blending into shit or eating something.
And Sony is in the talks of making a PlayStation 4.5. For 4K resolution.
Sounds like it'll be worth it. For another,
I can't wait till for another $800. Where I'm
it's
watching,
probably going to be that much.
Where I'm watching a fucking soccer game or a football game on TV, and I'm yelling at the TV, and it gets to the point where they can jump through some portal if they want, come into my fucking bedroom and kick the shit out of me. For like making fun of them and then hop back into the game,
And you'll have deserved it, Joey.
I'm looking forward to the moment where technology can jump through space and time and be in a moment,
dude. Oculus Rift, man.
I don't know about all of that, but maybe if you're playing like Madden, they can do that shit.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
With the Oculus Rift, man, you're immersed, man. That shit's over your eyes. You can't see nothing. You're in fucking fantasy world. You're in virtual reality world. I mean, you're telling me they can't have the crowd all around you, have the noise around you, have a little bit of vibration so it's shaken, so you're like there and you're feeling the atmosphere. Fuck, that shit is right around the corner, dude. Right around the corner. It'll be here as long as nobody blows up a nuclear bomb or something stupid like that happens.
Yeah, or so. I have a joke that I've never said, I've never done, I haven't worked it out yet. But it's just like talking about like how stupid I am. Like, and where, like,
seems
what
simple.
What time, yeah, what time and age do I need to go back to where I was like the smart guy? You know, I'm like, right now we got smart guys are being able to figure out how to throw fucking atoms. And it's like I would probably need to go back to like caveman days. So that guy's a fucking genius.
So when there was Neanderthals walking around?
Yeah, and then I'm like, hey, let me show you what we can do with fire. You know, look at this.
You guys are going to love this.
Yeah,
you?
Pop some popcorn. They're like, oh my gosh.
That's interesting to think, you know, because I think I'm in best middle of the road as far as smarts go, this age of people, you know, this era. Middle of the road. I like to be logical, but not necessarily smart.
Yeah, but how far back do you have to go before you're the genius?
It's got to be at least pre-industrial age, for me at least, you know, I'd say. I could probably back
could
in the 1700s, I think I could
make
it happen.
Electricity? Do you know how to make that happen? Could you be like,
yeah,
we need some copper and we need some wire? Like,
it depends
on
how good looking she is, to be honest.
That was the corniest joke.
I know, thank you. Well, I'm talking 1800s here, all right? You know, I'm talking pre-electricity. I'm not flying I'll fly a kite, but I ain't putting a string on
but
the
what
end,
can
or
you,
a key on
what,
the end
like,
of it.
Okay, what, like, think about it. You go to the 1800s. Mm-hmm. You're fucking in the 1800s right now. How are you going to improve that society, you personally?
I think back then it's just like giving a shit about people. You know, I think people were so much more ruthless back then. Like,
no, they weren't. They're good, wholesome people.
Are you kidding me? What about the Wild West, man?
Are you kidding me?
The guys were slinging guns, shooting people. People were getting lynched. All kinds of crazy.
They were
shit.
Fucking savages back then. Are you kidding me? Don't let the fucking history books in your high school fool you. They were savages back then. Jack the fucking Ripper. You know who that is? Fucking
savage.
Yeah, but
we have those guys around right now too.
Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all those racist white folks who wrote the Constitution, they were savages, man. They owned fucking slaves. They were racist.
Well,
they treated women like shit.
Well, that was par for the course back then, though.
And that was culture.
Yeah, it was par for the course. I mean, that's how it was.
But today we see that as uncivilized.
But look at it like
well,
this.
Yeah, because we look back and we know now that we can do better than that. And I think we are doing better
think of it
than
like
that
this.
All in all.
In some parts
what
of this country we do.
What if in the future, we create something that allows us to... something that allows us to read the thoughts of animals and dogs, you know, and like all of a sudden it gives them a soul. Now all of a sudden they have rights. Like, you ever thought about that? Like,
oh,
what if we ever get to that point where
you sound like a PETA enthusiast?
I know. No, I'm just thinking about this, where we like get to a point where we realize that they are also creatures and they have a soul and they should have a decision. Like, if society comes to that point, they'll look at us as like fucking murderers and awful people. Like, oh, the days when, you know, they used to slaughter our kind, you know.
You've been watching too much Planet of the Apes. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm talking about that.
So do we not let a cougar kill a deer then? I mean, what, are we going to control all the...
No, that's how we justify our guilt of slaughtering all the animals.
Listen, it's about doing this shit in a humane fashion, okay? A humane fashion. You got these farms that are farming pigs, and these pigs are in these stalls...
Exactly.
Well, they can't even
and
turn
the
around.
The animals look back in the future and look at that.
Yeah, and
that's
can't even,
where we were at.
Man, who knows? But these animals just need to be treated ethically. Okay, creatures eat other creatures. That's how planet Earth works. That's how it's worked for millions of years. We're not going to change that. We're not going to all go vegan and then we're going to live in some fucking utopia. No, we're going to be now malnourished and we're not going to have enough protein in our fucking system. So it's all part of the system. We just need to treat these animals not like they're our fucking toy, and we can do whatever the hell we want with them. I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
I agree.
Joey.
I think this
Thank
was a
you,
great
Joey.
Podcast.
You know, we've had a good time here. We changed the rules a little bit. We did some new stuff, but I like it. I'm feeling good about it. What do you guys think? You guys got to let us know here. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter. Let us know, Earful in the Emerald City, what you think, because we need you guys' feedback, man. We got nothing here, all right? Even if you want to tell us how shitty the show is and how much we suck. I just want to know somebody cares. You know?
And I'll plug my shit real
quick. Yeah, do it, man.
I'm Joey Cruz. You can follow me on Twitter at Joey at Cruz. And you can also Instagram, too. That's JoeyatCruz. So at Joey at Cruz. And then YouTube, Shady Shores TV. You can put that in. And you can search me on Facebook, too, and YouTube. I have my own channel and have some stand up on there. Peace. Check the Shady Shores Talks.
Yeah, check the YouTube Shady Shores. They got some good videos. I've checked them out, and I had some good laughs in some of your stuff.
And if you go to ShadyShoresComedy.com, it'll take you to all those places. It'll take you to our YouTube channel and our podcast, blah, 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 blah.
And if you live local, guys, if you're in the greater Puget Sound area, come see this guy, all right? Because he's spitting some hot fire right now. I'm telling you, this is a comedian's comedian here, all right? I like watching this guy. He's fun to watch. So thank you, Joy, for joining us. Appreciate it. And thank you for all of our new listeners and old listeners. Like always, guys, we appreciate the shit out of you. You're the best thing we got here. We're not doing any advertising, so, you know, word of mouth is all we got, and we appreciate whatever you can do for us. So for Joey Cruz, I'm Slim, and then
I'm Shoddy, and we are out.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.